Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one lovable package, Glenn Klein, on a beautiful day in Tampa Bay for a Two for Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, the only 10-20-2-0-2-0 in the history of humanity. And the only afternoon before game one of the 2-0-2-0 World Series in the history of the game. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is a beautiful day for baseball, and our Two for Tuesday is very much complete. Please welcome future Hall of Famer. We know him, we love him, we would not want to live without him. The voice of the American League champion Tampa Bay Rays, Dwayne Stats. Dwayne!
Hey, how you doing? Dwayne, let me first just say that I'm honored to be in the company of a triple threat, as you as your open fairly lets us know.
Yes, your friendly neighborhood podcast host, play-by-play man, and color analyst all for life. That's it. You have been the Rays play-by-play man for life thus far, and how thrilled are you, a scale 1 to 10, that they've made it back to the big series?
Yeah, all things considered, you know, maybe a 10 plus. The fact that we've all been involved in this pandemic, that they managed to get 60 games in for the regular season, do well and get into the postseason, and now all the way to the World Series, I think it's just the greatest thing going for what we've all been through. And let's hope that, you know, it will spur us on to prosperous and more positive things than we've seen in the recent past.
The last time you were online with us, Dwayne, was before they decided even if they were going to have a season. And we talked about, on that particular show, all the historic moments throughout the history of this country and the world where baseball had never been canceled. And so somehow, some way, they figured out how to do a 60-game season, and then this very interesting format for the playoffs. How much of an asterisk do you think will be on the World Series champion in 2020?
Well, I don't think there's any way you can get around some designation indicating that. But at the end of the day, the World Series is the World Series. And however they had to make it happen, they made it happen. And so it's, hey, you're competing against all the other teams in the major leagues, and it comes down to these two teams. They're the ones who survived, and so I think it's I think from that perspective, it's legitimate, and we're happy to have it.
And game one starts tonight in Arlington at the new field there. Have you been to that new ballpark yet?
Have not had a chance to be in there. You know, Globe Life, it's really it's strange to recognize that I say this carefully, the old ballpark, which is not really an old ballpark, and it's beautiful right next door. The problem was they made it an outdoor ballpark with no chance to enclose it and use AC in the middle of the Texas heat. But it's a beautiful ballpark, and right next door you've got the brand new Globe Life Park. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays, and if, the Dodgers have been there already. The Rays have not, so it'll take the Rays a little time to perhaps get accustomed to their new environment.
Of course, both Atlanta and now Dallas have two ballparks, two legitimate major league ballparks in their cities. Why can't they just transplant one and stick it in Ybor City and then let's go? I mean, that you could do that, couldn't you?
Sure. So long as we have the option of opening and closing a roof.
Yeah, we just got to put a roof on it. That's all.
Yeah.
So I think one of the benefits of COVID has been through this truncated season, we have not heard one statement about lack of fan participation and attendance at Tropicana Field because everybody was in the same boat. That's been a benefit for sure. Being a lifelike or at least a Rays long fan. Since day one of our team,
yeah, and the thing that continues to encourage me, and I think especially now, while numbers have been down in terms of TV numbers of a lot of sporting events during this. Our local numbers continued to be good, and you know, it tells us that there is this wonderful fan base here, and you know, we'll see what the future holds, but that has been encouraging as well. And I know for all of the folks on our crew, we were just thrilled to get back, and as difficult, or it really wasn't that difficult, but as different as it was, we were just happy to be in a situation to broadcast games again.
Yeah, well, I want to talk to you about how that was, but getting back to Globe Life Field, the Dodgers have been there for 2 weeks. How much of an advantage is that going to be for them? The Rays, of course, were at that beautiful Petco Park in San Diego, but how big an advantage? It's kind of like a home field advantage, at least for the start, for the National League champions.
Yeah, and I think everything's magnified. You know, if a guy's hot or cold in the postseason, it becomes really magnified. And I think that, not only is it a game by game, but it's a pitch by pitch, at bat by at bat. Every play you make is under the microscope. And certainly, I think there has to be some advantage to a club that's already played there and a team that has not played. So, you know, that's the hand you're dealt, and so you're going to go play and compete. And folks around here are certainly hoping the Rays will prevail.
Definitely here in our household and on this quality podcast. Of course, we were at the first ever Devil Rays game. My three oldest sons and I. And I have my old Devil Rays shirt. I got a kick out of the fact that Dusty Baker broke out the Devil Rays in his post-mortem. did you see that?
I did. And you know, here's the deal: in the middle of all of the advance that we have had in terms of breaking down these games and all the metrics and all the things that we're doing. And, you know, Dusty's kind of old school, and so he just old schooled the whole thing.
Yeah, he did. He really did. He was probably the perfect guy to step into that Houston Astros situation. And when the Rays went up 3-0, I thought he did a masterful job just kind of fathering that team and getting them back into a place where they, well, took it to Game 7. Yeah.
I agree with you. I really like him a lot. He's a, you know, he is a throwback. He is a player. He was, you know, such a great hitter and a competitive guy. And in fact, he sticks out in my mind when Nolan Ryan, I had the chance to call his fifth no-hitter, and Dusty was the last guy to come to the plate, and Nolan got him on a ground ball to Arthaus at third base to complete that fifth no-hitter. So I always see Dusty grounding out to do that. But he's been a great manager and was a great player and handles people well. He's really a good people person. And so, it's always great to have those guys back in the middle of the sabermetrics and everything else that we have going today to have just a little touch of, the veteran baseball experience.
Right. And of course, we're all about the old school. And now, not to deny or to have any kind of pejorative view of where things have gone, because it's allowed the Rays to excel in a small market and with obviously a very low budget. But you know that we're all about the energy here, Dwayne. And as you well know, and as my audience knows to ad nauseum, that my sons and I started the first standing ovation in Tampa Bay Devil Ray history before Wilson Alvarez's first pitch. And it's a true story. I mean, we did. It was very quiet. It was very nerve-wracking. And then I stood up and I said, "Watch this, boys." And my son stood up and we started. And then the place was going absolutely crazy before the first pitch ever in Tampa Bay baseball history. Well, the other night I was at Ferg's across from the Trop watching game 5, I guess it was, or it might have been game 6. And Brandon Lau, who is only one of two Rays players that have come through our system, the other being Kevin Kiermaier, has really been mired in a bad slump. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a nice couple, our age, seasoned citizens, if you will, in Raised. By the way, Ferg was packed. I mean, that place was jamming, which was great to see. I just happened to be in the neighborhood, so I thought I'll go get a drink at Ferg's and watch the beginning of the game. So this couple was from Connecticut, and they were huge Rays fans. And it was very interesting to get their take on how they go move from Connecticut and become Tampa Bay Rays season ticket holders. In any case, here comes Brandon Lau, and the Astros were up 1-0. And I said to this guy Gary, I said, Gary, you got to switch seats with me. He goes, what do you mean? So it became kind of like a big thing, and this is as Lau was warming up, you know, taking his practice swings. And I said, I'm telling you, we've got to switch it up for this kid. And the bar was full, and we were in the horseshoe bar, so people were seeing what was going on. And they're baseball fans. They know what's happening. So I switched seats with Gary from Connecticut, and Gary was sitting next to Kirsty. And the first pitch, Brandon Lau jacked one for a home run, and the place went absolutely bananas because they saw what happened. And as a great Budweiser commercial once said, it's only weird if it doesn't work. You know?
That's right. That's exactly right.
But that is part of old school baseball. Switch it up, slump busters. And so I'll take credit for Brandon Lau breaking his slump, too, as well
all
as
right.
for standing
over. Well, I'll tell you, Rosarena would like to have a guy you know, to form a 1-2 punch, because Randy's been the one guy who has been just over the top offensively. And when you look up and down the lineups, you'd love to see Lau get hot. You'd love to see Austin Meadows swing the bat
yes.
the way everybody knows he can. I mean, those are two big bats to get going. And if they do, then, you know, it's they're going to need some offense in this series against the Dodgers. And so having a couple of extra bats hot would really be handy.
Oh, if we start swinging the bat against the Dodgers with our pitching and defense and bullpen, I mean, things could get very interesting here in Tampa.
I think you're right.
Very exciting.
You're absolutely right.
I really thought that when Kevin Kiermaier went down with the wrist injury or the hand after he got hit, well, he missed three games. We lost all three games. He is the engine. He's the energy on this team.
Well, he is. You know, number one, when you're just grayed out, if you have a center fielder who's going to cover the ground that he's going to cover out there, do those things. I mean, it all begins there. But he is a fired up guy, and you know, he sometimes orbits in his own universe, which is really great. And I think,
well, he is a lefty after all. Come on,
absolutely, yeah. And the guys will. You know, the guys relate to him that way. And, you know, one of only a couple guys who you could really look at this club and go, you know, there's a veteran guy. And so it's very important to have him for practical reasons and maybe inspirational reasons in the lineup.
Well, he's the connectivity between the Joe Maddon days and the way that that Maddon turned this franchise around internally to what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's very easy on the eyes too, Kevin Kiermaier, as you well know, Dwayne, as you are, as well.
Well, you know, you're very. Look, you're.
I'm astute. I'm astute.
Yeah. Well, you're accurate in one assessment and kind in the other.
No, that's not true. This is the very kind Glenn Klein online. We're talking with future Hall of Fame broadcaster Dwayne Statz. He's also the author of Position to Win: A Look at Baseball and Life from the Best Seat in the House. You know, I joined your ranks as an author recently. Did you know that?
No, I have to get my hands on.
Yeah, I should get you one. I wrote a book about the pandemic, which is called Early Wake Up Call: How a Coach's Early Warnings About the Pandemic Can Help You Now. And it's, you know, Amazon, Barnes and Noble,
yeah,
all that stuff. Yeah, it's a fascinating story. And again, my audience all over the terra firma is sick of hearing me talk about it. So I'll just encourage you guys that haven't heard about it just to go to my website, CoachGlennKlein.com. It's there, or you go to Amazon or whatever. But yeah, it was very interesting during the course of the early stages of the pandemic. And I was blogging about it and making a bunch of predictions, speaking of needing to switch up energy. And then the predictions started to come into pass. And I was like, how the hell did I know this? I'm not that smart. And then I realized all I had done on the pandemic is I overlaid the coaching and the life principles and the way that I owned and operated our summer camp and the way I raised our six kids on the pandemic. And then realized it could help you with any situation. So I thought there's a book here, and then there was. So there it is.
Early, well, I'll have to be sure and grab that and read it. I've got a little extra time.
You do have some extra time now.
This off season.
So, all right. So you had a lot of time during which you would have been traveling, and eventually, when they start the season, you don't have to travel at all, except from home to the Trop, because even the road games you guys did from Tropicana Field. How tough an adjustment was that?
You know, it was really interesting. I've had in my background when I started in this business in the minor leagues doing radio. And we actually recreated some road games when I broke in. I had never recreated a game in my life. So we did the recreations in the minor leagues on radio. And then, you know, there were a couple of times when I've been involved in doing an event off a monitor, normally a big monitor. In fact, when Joe McGrain and I did that, when the team went to Japan, gosh, that's been well over a decade ago. We did it from a studio. And so it was not the first time we've done that, but certainly on the scale that we did it here, it certainly was that. And we wound up setting up monitors in the what would have been the visiting TV booth because we wanted to keep them up there the whole time. So we actually changed booths. When the team was home and playing live, we did it from our home booth. And when the team was on the road, we went to the visiting booth where we had monitors set up. And we would take the feed from, you know, the whatever team they were playing from their home broadcast, telecast, with an extra camera or two to help us cover what we needed to cover. It was, frankly, under the circumstances, it was a fun thing to do. I think we enjoyed it, and it'll be interesting to see. I have no idea going forward. You know how executives are and accountants, you know, at their hip to try to figure out the least expensive way to do things. And I'm wondering at some point if they're not going to think about doing more of those road games the way we did them here during the pandemic.
Well, I would think that as broadcasters get up there in age, like yourself, with all due respect, that actually might be an attractive thing that you wouldn't have to do so much traveling. Because as guys got older, like I remember Vin Scully, the latter part of his career, he just only did the home games. Very rarely did he go on the road. But if he would, but if he would be able to do it on a monitor, he could, you know, he might have been willing to do that for a little while longer.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. We had fun with it. We knew where we were and why we were doing it. So I would.
Well, Anderson,
you know, I'd entertain that.
Yeah, BA always, you know, brings the hilarity and the frivolity. You always have to rein him in. It's one of the fun parts of watching the game and listening is just to see how much he will walk that line and then how you kind of pull him back, but then you let the leash go a little bit. It's very fun. But the way they had you guys pictured in the booth, it seemed like you guys were divided by plexiglass. Was that
correct?
Was that how it literally was?
They did. they set up plexiglass between us in both booths. We were distanced enough anyway, I think, had we not had that, but they wanted to, you know, go the extra mile and put up the plexiglass. So, yes, we were united yet physically divided.
All right, who was the first one to throw something over the plexiglass at each other, you or B.A.?
Well, you know, we try to remain civil. The biggest problem was negotiating to get into our positions, and we had one door that we could access in the visiting booth, which meant that most of the time BA had to go through that door, down some steps, and down in front of the booth camera, and then past the front of my desk, and then make a right and veer left so he wouldn't run into the partition. And then find his spot up there. So, you know, I think it was probably a little more onerous for him to get to where he wanted to get. And then if you had to get out for any reason during the telecast, then it was a little bit of a challenge as well. It wasn't just as he's opening the door and running down the hall if you needed to do that.
I mean, when you guys were doing road games at, from the Trop, how many people were in the ballpark?
Not many. We had...
I mean, were there like 10 people and you guys and that was it pretty much?
That's about right.
Wow, you know, that must have been weird, bro. That must have been really strange.
It was in a way, you know, our pre and post game guys set up out in left field where they normally would set up. The issue there when the team was not on the road, the air conditioning is not fully engaged, so we had some portable type air conditioning, especially for those guys out there doing pre and post. You know, we might have been, we had a smaller area to keep cool because right. they actually put plastic drops in front of the booth. You could see through them, but it would help to, you know, contain the area that we had to cool. But out there, they were wide open because no one was around them. But at the same time, it was a little more difficult to keep them cool in a facility that when the team's on the road is not fully air conditioned.
Well, Orestes Estrada is a big sweater as it is.
He's a hot guy anyway.
He is hot and he perspires quite a big friend of ours. You know, Owen and I started a foundation together years ago called Advocates for Young Athletes.
I got you. Wow.
Yeah, that was quite a story too. We had a good time. I'm trying to get him on just to get a different take. But he's much more difficult to get a hold of. He's, you know, Orestes Estrada, he is a diva. You know, you ever realize that about that guy?
No, I never recognized
him. No, he's a great guy. I love Orestes. Old friend. So, yeah. Now the good news is that there's going to be some fans at Globe Life Field. And which means that even if things don't change, and I don't think they're going to really change as far as COVID is concerned going into next season, that we will at least be able to have some fans in based on these regulations and these parameters. That will be better, don't you think, to have at least some people in the ballpark?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fans are big. I mean, the fans are the reason the game exists. I mean, if you get right down to it, without them, it doesn't exist. And while we've not had them in the ballparks, we've had them watching games on television, listening on radio, and engaging, and so that's why the game exists.
The cutouts. I mean, that it was a bit much. I get it, but God, that was lame. It's like we don't need people. We could just put cardboard there. But you guys were there, and it was great. I would imagine that baseball, of all the major sports, would have been the easiest to do via remote like that. Rick Peckham did the Lightning games up until the final rounds from a studio like that. And, of course, he just retired. His last score, his last call was that Braden Point overtime winner, but that was done in a booth remotely. Yep. That was something. And, of course, Doc Emrick, the great NHL play-by-play man, just announced his retirement the other day. He did it from a booth.
Yeah.
And I mean, hockey's hard enough to do, let alone. But what was the most challenging thing when you were doing it remotely?
Well, I'll tell you, I think, and by the way, you mentioned two of the greatest hockey play-by-play guys of all time.
Yes, who, they were losing both
you
of
know,
them.
You know, I've always been in awe of those guys. And so I, you know, I just wish them the greatest retirement that they can have. I think the most difficult thing for us, one of the shots we had in our booth, in the monitors, was, as you can relate to, what they would call a wide shot, high home wide shot that would, in theory, give us a wide view, a panoramic view of the ballpark. Well, in some ballparks, for example, at Fenway, the high home camera was not high enough and it could not be positioned in such a way that it would give us a full view of the corners. And as you know, particularly in right field with the pesky pole and the curvature of that low wall, you know, you're not sure what a ball is going to do down there anyway. So we had to wait a couple of beats if a ball was put into play and wound up going down there until one of our game camera guys then caught up with it. So what we had a line feed, and then we had that on another monitor, the wide shot. And so it got to be a little difficult, you know, if a guy's on first and the ball's hitting the corner somewhere, you're thinking, well, he's got an outside chance of scoring, or is he going to go first to third? Could he go first to home? And when you see the whole play developing in front of you live, then you know the angles and you know the timing and all of that. But doing it on a video monitor, if you can't see the ball in the right field corner and how the defensive, in this case, the right fielder would go in after it or play it out of the corner, then you're waiting. So you, it does interrupt the rhythm of calling a game when you try to describe what's going to happen and what you might anticipate. Because a big part of this is you're going to anticipate whether there would be a play at third or not, or a play at home or not. And so we had to wait on that. And so we got caught a couple times when we just could not see another part of a play that we ordinarily would see. But that was probably the most difficult part of it. The rest of it actually went pretty smoothly.
What about home run calls?
Well, we got a good chance, you know, and because most of the camera folks are major league camera people, you know, we had great coverage on most of those. But the biggest problem was that wide shot when we just could not see immediately in the corner of a ballpark like Fenway.
We talked about earlier about the fact that Kiermaier and Brandon Lau are the only two homegrown Rays. And it's been made a big deal about because the Rays, of course, have been known for such a great farm system. But all these players, you mentioned Rosarena and Manuel Margot and Hunter Renfroe and all these guys. I mean, incredible. Zunino, all these guys who have made a huge difference on this team, including tonight's starter, Tyler Glasnow, who came, of course, with the Pittsburgh Pirate deal for Chris Archer with Austin Meadows. What is it? Are these guys just good at finding talent, or what are they looking for specifically, Dwayne?
Well, I think they are, and I think the minor league system also helps, because when you talk about the Rosarena deal, they sent a pretty good young left-handed pitcher to St. Louis in that deal. And in the San Diego deal, there were some minor leaguers involved in that trade. You know, Cronenworth was one of them. It turned out to be pretty good in San Diego, and you anticipated that might be the case. So the minor league system will help it. Even if those players are not here, the guys who have produced here as a result of those deals, you know, they're going to contribute, and I think they will continue to do that. Will we see more of the minor leaguers who are down there in this rich system here? Absolutely, we will. But, you know, you're going to use guys here, and then you're going to use guys in deals to get to augment the team that you already have. So that's why it's important, I think, to have as great a minor league system as they do, because they can use it in multi ways to add talent to the major league club in one way or another. And I think we're going to continue to see that. It has been, the past year, the top-rated minor league system in baseball. And really, over the last few years, it's been, you know, one, two, or three. And I think it will continue to be that. This club has done a great job at that.
How frustrated are you not being able to broadcast these games?
Well, it's frustrating. There's no question. You know, years ago, before TV and the really big network contracts were in evident. It's a progression. I remember when the Cardinals won the pennant in 67 and 68, growing up in the St. Louis area. 68, they played the Tigers. And while you might have had Kurt Gowdy as the primary guy from the network do the games, they also utilized at least part of the local crews. So
yeah, they would. Know, Harry, I remember
Harry Carey spent a couple innings in the booth. Ernie Harwell spent a couple innings in the booth, and I think it's always good to get a local or regional touch. And so the answer to your question, I think everybody who does these games now, and you know, all the games are pretty much telecast, basically speaking, during the regular season, and you do miss that. You do. There's no question about that.
So we got Glasnow going against Kershaw tonight. Kershaw has not been a Hall of Fame postseason pitcher. If he was going to the Hall of Fame based on his postseason resume, he wouldn't get to Cooperstown. So he's got
had some physical issue that's popped up again this year and leading into the postseason.
And so then tonight, of course, the Rays are going to be introduced to a ballpark they've never played in. The Dodgers have been playing there for 2 weeks. They are the home team. The Dodgers are tonight.
Yes.
So how do you see this panning out?
Well, Tyler Glasnow, when he was with the Pirates, and I'm not sure how many of these Dodger hitters saw him when he pitched against them then, he was a different pitcher, and it was a short stint, couple of games out of the bullpen. Glasnow, as we know, can be dominating, and I would expect him to be that, and I would expect the Rays to continue. They've had a day of rest in between. There will be a day off after the second game of the World Series. So I think they're positioned to do what they've done so well. And if Glasnow goes four, if he goes 4 2/3, if he goes five, six, whatever the situation allows for, they will be ready to match up at a moment's notice. Half of their roster, I think they're keeping 14 pitchers. So that would give them, the needed depth, pretty good balance, righty and lefty out there. So, we're all looking at this through Tampa Bay eyes, and I'm going to say the Rays are going to win this thing. And if you think that, here's the deal. Kershaw has had issues, but at any moment he can be a lockdown guy too. But I really like the Rays' chances to get off to the right start in this game one tonight.
When the Rays were last in the World Series, their only other appearance was in 2008 against the Phillies. And, of course, that was the turnaround year. Incredible experience. And we were at all those postseason games. But once the World Series started, I just thought it just went by so quickly. If there was a way for Madden and that team to have slowed things down a little bit, and I would think that in a sense, because our team is so much younger and less experienced than the Dodgers are, this is the Dodgers' third World Series in the last 4 years. The expectations are high on the team from Los Angeles. I would think that the fact that there's a little less fanfare and it's just less. There's no travel involved at this point. That's got to accrue to our benefit, I would think.
Well, I think this is, as you point out, a very young team. I think the difference in 08 and this year's World Series team, remember the series against the Red Sox to get to the World Series in 08. And in a way, that was a World Series type of series they had against Boston. And I think that took a little something out of the team. I think it took them to get through that series and then a game or two to sort of get acclimated to the World Series in 08. I think the atmosphere is completely different, and you point out some of the reasons why. But I think this club has a much better feel coming into the World Series and in terms of being ready, having a great point of view about coming in. And that 08 team, I think, had just battled the Red Sox to 7 games to get through the League Championship Series to get to the World Series.
Yeah.
So I think that was a big deal and a big part of that. And another reason why I just think, this club is, there's a lot of talent on that 08 team in so many ways. And I think the real key to this is going to have the pitching match up and do what it can do, play solid defense. And they're going to need to get a little more offense than they
have.
Yeah, in the early stages of the postseason.
Putting on their hitting shoes tonight, hopefully.
Good.
Yeah, they got to put on their hitting shoes tonight for sure.
Absolutely.
There were some magical moments in the postseason run so far. I mean, that game that Manuel Margot had when he went over the wall. for the ball, then hit a home run. And of course, Brasso hitting the home run against what's his name?
Chapman.
Yeah, Aroldis Chapman. I mean, that was, you can't. If that would be like in a baseball movie, you would say, "Nah, it's too much, too over the top." Let's finish it with a nice happy ending, so to speak, as the Rays take on the National League champion Los Angeles Dodgers, huge underdogs, and it's fun. And plus, the connection between the Rays and the Dodgers. First of all, Stu Sternberg, a lot of people don't know this, was a huge Dodger fan growing up as a kid. It's one of the reasons the Rays uniforms have that blue and the way that it looks. Andrew Friedman leaving the Rays to go to Los Angeles. So a lot of connections between the little kids out of St. Pete and the big boys out of Tinseltown.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about all of the former Rays coaches and front office people who have gone elsewhere as managers and general managers, you're going to run into that, you know, it seems like half the league. I think there are maybe seven clubs with former Rays, maybe eight.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That either have managers or GMs who are formerly with this organization. So it's, you know, and the point that you make about Friedman being out there, that adds to the interesting drama that we're going to watch over the next week plus of the World Series. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm still here to say that I think the Rays are going to prevail.
You think the Rays are going to win it all?
I do. I think they will.
We agree with that 100%. And you know, if I have to, I'll do what I have to do to switch up the energy. That's already been proven. So, and I
perfect.
And I encourage all the fans of the Tampa Bay Rays that are listening to this to think about it. And I'm serious about this. I've seen this happen more times than I can count, where it just seemed to work. Whether it did or not, who the hell knows? But I do know this. Scientifically, those ball players are walking, talking grids of energy. So are the fans. So are the broadcasters. And to whatever degree that you want to participate in positive energy for your squad, for your team, for your family, whatever the case may be, I just encourage you to do that. So.
Yep, and I would not disagree.
Are you?
We're all for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that there's a thing called rally caps. I mean, that all started with something. There's a reason there's things called slump busters. There's when Phil Jackson coached the Bulls and they'd go for a bad run, he'd bring in a like a witch doctor to, you know, to and obviously who the hell knows what that did any as far as the energy concerned, but it definitely took the guys' minds off what was going on the court. So you got to take every advantage you can. And so are you going to stay hang around with the Rays for a while? Do you have any plans to hang them up in the near future?
I'm going to hang around as long as they invite me to.
That's
hang
very
around.
Good. That's very good news. Now, is there any truth to the rumor that you will be doing double duty as the new Lightning television play-by-play man for Rick Peckham? Now that he's retired.
You know the way I like to enjoy the Lightning is to turn them on at home. Or run over and watch a game and have a refreshment and, you know, not even worry about the broadcast side of it.
No, I know. I appreciate that. But how exciting, though, was the Lightning?
That was so great.
That was thrilling.
Just the best.
It was just thrilling. And could not have been happier for Steven Stamkos with everything that guy's gone through and just the challenge of being there from really the get-go of the reformation of this team. And very, very exciting. And you know, people are like, what are you guys drinking down there in Tampa now between the Lightning and the Rays? And, of course, the Buccaneers looked amazing the other day against the Packers, and they could compete for the Super Bowl here in Tampa. And they don't. And we're really getting a lot of good play right now, and you cannot buy this kind of publicity. There's just no way. But the fact that the Lightning, if the Lightning would have won the Stanley Cup in a normal year, and then the Rays would be in the World Series, there would have been months separating this thing. But as it turns out, it's only been a couple of weeks. We really haven't had a chance to come down from the Lightning, and now here the Rays are playing on the biggest stage in baseball. It's just, oh, my God, is it fun.
Yeah, and it all begins tonight. It'll be fun, and, you know, we should all sit back and enjoy it and figure that what the Lightning did is a prelude to what the Rays
I think it has an effect because, again, there's the energy. You know, just like this was – Blake Coleman said something like who was, you know, a big personality with the Lightning. He was like telling the Rays, we know you boys want that boat parade. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully everybody will be enjoying the telecast as well as the outcome, and we always enjoy our time with D-Wayne Stats. You are the man. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, sir. Always good to be in your company.
There he goes, D-Wayne Stats. D-Wayne Stats. As I said, future Hall of Fame broadcaster. His time will come at Cooperstown for the award and the recognition for broadcasters going into the Hall of Fame. Author of Position to Win, A Look at Baseball and Life from the Best Seat in the House, D-Wayne Stats. Been friends with him a long time. And used to come on the old show in Clearwater years ago, over 20 years ago, right when the Rays first started. And then when I met Orestes, and the rest is sweet, sweet baseball love, and cannot appreciate his time enough. Well, it is the Rays and the Dodgers in the World Series. Yes, I do think the Rays will win. I think the Rays will win in seven. And I think they will have a very good start tonight against Clayton Kershaw. But no matter what happens, you guys, participate, enjoy it. Don't get too anxious and change the energy if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan or whatever fan you are. I can tell you one story after another. And there are people that are listening to this quality podcast right now that have been involved in a bunch of them, including my son starting the first standing ovation in Tampa Bay Devil Ray history. Want to encourage you to go to CoachGlennKline.com and subscribe to the blog there and just check out all the offerings that are available via our parent company, Life and Pleasure Communications, LLC. CoachGlennKline.com. Love to hear from you, ideas for shows, and just be in touch. You can follow us at Coach Glenn Kline on the Instagram as well as Facebook and Twitter. And we will do it all again next time. We really appreciate you logging on. And until that time, this is Glenn Kline online saying, go Rays and shalom, everybody.